Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Spadden coming to you live from Shreveport, Louisiana this week. And we want to, as we've come out of our study of the night watches, break into the new day, a new day in our study and look at some biblical perspectives of as we've gone through the night and understand, depending on when the Lord awakens us, some things we can do during our prayer time of intercession for His nation, for ourselves, depending on when the Lord awakens us, to be at a place of peace with the Lord. And today I want to start off in scripture before diving into some interesting news that have happened over the weekend that I think we need to be fully aware of in starting in our, for our study of verse of the day in Psalms 30. And I want to read just this one scripture in verse 30, verse 5. And it talks about how David's talking about, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime, and weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. If you've been around the charismatic movement for a while, you obviously know this song, really the church for a while, you've heard this song being sung. I remember it from my childhood, Joy Comes in the Morning, that song. And it's just a reminder for us that as we break into the new day of what a blessing it is to be alive in this time. You know, we hear stories about how, and when you read the Bible, the prophets of old dying, and being zealous towards wanting to be alive in this time, in this season. And Chuck Pierce writes, in chapter 4 of Reordering Your Day, in saying a new day dawns, he said, when the night ends, the day breaks. The most awesome thought a person can have is this, and I read, quote, I can have relationships with the God who created the universe. I can lift up my eyes from the spot in which I am planted and see God who made the spot. I can have a relationship with the one who is greater than this world and therefore gain wisdom from him on how to stand in this world. In my own strength, the world is too large for me to handle, but through God, I shall do valiantly as I walk in the earth. The night lasts for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. And that's where we want to start today, of being in that place of joy with the Lord as we walk out the spot, the places where he has sent us to be and doing what he has called us to do as well. Now, with that, I want to go ahead and dive into the news. And really, I think we all are aware of the news that's been going on this weekend of the debate over gun rights and stuff. And we've seen some stuff arise last night in Canada that I think is very alarming and a warning sign for us here in America. And I want to go through that here in a little bit. But first, we want to look at some international news that I think we need to be fully aware of that pertain to Israel and China and the United States. And first, we're seeing a report out of the BBC that China has sent and did send over the weekend 30 warplanes into Taiwan, into their air defense zone. And Taiwan responded. And what's very interesting about this is this came, BBC is even pointing this out, is saying that it came days after U.S. President Joe Biden warned China against invading Taiwan. And on the same day, U.S. officials visited the island to discuss security with leaders. And so we started to see this, you know, President Trump said, you know, if ever Russia did something, China would respond thereafter, after they see the response of the world towards Taiwan. So we're seeing this start to pick up. in this issue. And the reason we want to be aware of that is because look at the response of this president. What does this mean for our military? What does this mean for our nation, the future generation? And just look at the natural is revealing the spiritual. Now, we're seeing this on this front, but we're also seeing this interesting news article that came out of the Epoch Times this morning of how a editor from the Jerusalem Post has been ordered to remove an interview with the a Taiwanese foreign minister, Joseph Wu, who cautioned the Israeli government to be very, quote, very careful when doing business with China. Now, this is interesting because this is a foreign government trying to tell a private company what to do, just on free market capitalism, breaks ethical and moral boundaries beyond measure. And then Wu, the Taiwanese foreign minister, said that the Chinese Communist Party, which this should be of no surprise to anyone who understands the issue, would sometimes use trade as a weapon, citing Lithuania, the Czech Republic, and Australia as some of the countries with which China has weaponized trade relations. And the editor for the Jerusalem Post, Yoav Katz, the editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post, said that he received a phone call from the Chinese embassy shortly after the publication of the interview asking him to take down the story. And he said, apparently, I'm supposed to take down the story or they will sever ties with the Jerusalem Post and downgrade relations with the state of Israel. Needless to say, the story ain't going anywhere. And kudos to Mr. Katz of standing for on this issue. And this is really interesting because off of one article, they're talking about one report from a Taiwanese foreign minister of downgrading the entire state of Israel in their trade relations with China, just because somebody said something that they didn't like. And so this is very interesting to see, mainly for our government, but it's a warning for China as well. Those who bless Israel shall be blessed. And so we see all this rise up, and I just point this story out to just pay attention to this. This is not something in alignment with the Lord's heart and relationships with Israel. And so we're being very aware of this. And then before I point out our prayer point for today, I do want to release this next. It's not really a story, it's a tweet. We've been talking about how we want to pay attention to Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and his dealings, and that the administration will try to silence him. And this is something to be aware of and be cautious of, because we need to be sober and aware of what's going on. And he put out a tweet last night, and I saw this, and I was like, this is interesting. So if you remember the negotiations with Iran to get them back into the Iran nuclear deal, we're negotiating with Russia, but then at the same time, you're seeing Iran start to fund terrorist activities around the world. And then last night, Anthony Blinken posts this. He said, the United States calls on Iran to immediately release the two Greek vessels that they have supposedly captured, along with their cargoes and their crews. Iranian and the RGC threats to regional and global security are unacceptable. And let's remember, in these negotiations with Iran, they want the IRGC here, this same group that's involved in this, you could call it a terrorist act of seizing independent foreign assets from a terrorist watch list. They want them removed from a terrorist watch list. And yet here they are going out and being strong and valiant in standing up for whatever they want. So I point this out because we need to be praying for our administration officials, because they're being bombarded with a lot, obviously, all the time, but they need wisdom in this season as you're seeing the economy stack up on top of everything. But we just want to make sure that they have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Iran and China, as we're continuing to see these issues arise, come to the forefront, and the decisions that they make will affect our nation. And so that's why we want to make sure that they're making the right decisions and align with what the Lord's will would be for our nation and for our relationships with those nations as well. All right, move on to the story out of Canada and just some very interesting perspective that we need to be aware of. I mean, if we want to look at other countries who have done this, let's look at 1930 Germany. Really 1920s Germany, 1930s Germany, of when they gave up their guns, what that looks like. Look at Venezuela, even today, what it looks like when they've given up their guns. And the story came out yesterday that Canada and Justin Trudeau and his party have proposed a legislation and will most likely get passed because of they have the votes in their parliament system to ban importing, buying, and selling of handguns in Canada. Basically, they want to cap the market, and if anybody has not just a handgun, but a rifle, to basically make it inoperable with the gun regulations and all this stuff. And they're doing this on the back of things that have been happening in the United States. Not things that are going on in their nation. And some of the logic behind this is very, very missing, I guess is the best way to say. Justin Trudeau says we're capping the number of handguns in this country, and because they want to supposedly protect people in the country, even though I haven't heard stories of things going off in Canada. And so they're talking about doing a mandatory buyback program at the end of the year. And one of the officials talked about how, well, you see more gun shootings in the United States than you do Canada, but then at the same time, the population, they're not looking at per capita shootings. They're just saying, well, because the population in the U.S. is bigger, that means there's more guns. So if we ban it, it's the logic is just completely missing. Because they're saying, you know, Canada has fewer mass shootings than the United States, in part because of the lack of easy access to guns. And there's the aspect of, again, U.S. has a higher population, and there are former Obama officials who are applauding this move. But yet, at the end of the day, it still doesn't deal with the root issue, which is a heart problem. And we need to be very, very aware of that. And so we see this come up, and now on the heels of, if you saw Biden's comments yesterday talking about how the Second Amendment is not absolute. And I do want to point this out. In part of the reasoning and more so the statements being made coming out of Canada is, I want to make sure I get this right. Bill Blair, Minister of Emergency Preparedness, said Canada is very different from the United States. He said, in Canada, gun ownership is a privilege, not a right. This is a principle that differentiates ourselves from many other countries in the world, notably our colleagues and friends from the South. So you're seeing these comments, similar comments being made by the President of the United States, even though we have the Second Amendment. And now he's coming out and saying he believes, based upon no communication, anything, just he believes that rational Republicans could move on gun control. These are the same Republicans that we talked about and want to pray about, who are in negotiations with Democrats, giving the A-OK from Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, Lindsey Graham, the likes. And I want to say this is Biden has said he has not spoken with Republicans yet about finding a compromise on gun control. But, quote, my guess is they're going to have to take a hard look. This is just his assumption after having no negotiation. And what is important about this is if you're trying to persuade colleagues across the aisle or even have a discussion about something, there needs to be a discussion. And obviously this is coming on the heels of the Texas and Buffalo shootings. And there are things that have even happened before. If you saw this weekend, a criminal who illegally gathered a gun in West Virginia, tried to use it, the illegal gun, in a shooting incident, but a woman with a concealed carry weapon ran towards the fire and ended up protecting the people around them and saving lives. There's that. And then if we really care about gun control, we really care about this issue, let's look at the places where gun control is the highest. And you're seeing these stories come up about how this is just Memorial Day weekend. If we really care about gun control and gun violence and the people who are the cause of this, there are more than 30 people dead from gun violence over Memorial weekend across the United States. And where are they happening? They're happening in Philadelphia, where 13 victims have lost their lives. Also in Brooklyn and Chicago, over the weekend, 34 injured in Chicago, 6 people killed. And this happens every weekend and nothing's being said about it, where they have some of the strictest gun laws in the country. In Baltimore, 4 deaths. Again, I point this out in Oklahoma as well. In Brooklyn, several people, including other cities, including Tampa, Memphis, Fresno, and Atlanta. If you're from Shreveport, you unfortunately have to hear about it all the time. Sometimes can hear it ringing out. I mean, I grew up here. I remember it, heard it, seen it. Unfortunately, the point bringing out here is to pray for wisdom for our officials, that they have the wisdom and fear of the Lord on this issue. And Bob Jones has a warning about how when they come for this, potentially cause a civil war. And Rick Joyner talks about this all the time, that when they come for the guns, could cause a civil war. So there's warnings here. There's wisdom from our founding fathers. And we just want to pray in this season to intercede for our leaders, both Democrat and Republican, to have the fear of the Lord when deciding what to do next, especially on the gun issue, and to continue to support our original intent for this nation to stand up for freedom now and in the season ahead, especially as we continue on primary season, campaign season, and then into the fall with the midterms. Now is the time to be praying. And some good notes on this issue is that the Supreme Court is expected to rule down on the issue in New York about its complete tyrannical overreach on gun rights. And there are lawyers and advocates who are involved in this situation who are saying that the Supreme Court is set to repeal those laws. Now, how far they'll go is still yet to be determined, in saying that the conservative majority is expected to rule in the coming days and weeks, pending dispute over New York State's tight limits on the concealed carry of handguns. Experts said that while it's unclear just how broadly the Supreme Court would rule, the restrictive New York law is likely to be invalidated in the decision that could have ramification for gun control efforts across the nation, which this would be a victory for allowing people to protect themselves. And bring up this scenario of, let's look at Israel. Let's think about if guns were the problem and Israel banned guns and weapons and all this stuff, would that end the violence that they're under? No, it wouldn't. So what do? Most people have to join the military. There's very, very, very few exemptions, and serve several years. And all of them understand the importance, especially those who have served, the importance of why you serve, why you have weapons to be able to defend yourself. And this is not even a topic of discussion. It's only in America where people have this discussion of, oh, guns are the problem. And Babylon Bee put out a great post the other day about how there was something about, like, they said the mass shooter went loose, but the police made sure to arrest the gun. And it's just a mockery of what the debate is right now. And last thing I want to close out on is there's legislation. There are other points to be discussing right now other than let's just ban all guns. And Thomas Massie from the representative from Kentucky is advocating, and he proposed a bill called the repeal, or it's the idea is to repeal the Gun-Free Zone Act of the 1990s, and he's calling it the Safe Student Act, which would make it easier for state and local governments and school boards to unambiguously set their own firearm policies, which is kind of the idea with how our Constitution and Bill of Rights are outlined, of if it's not outlined, and it kind of already is outlined in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights with the Second Amendment, right to bear arms, that the states then decide the next set of policies, not shouldn't be the federal government. And so this would be a good move. Will it get passed? Probably not. This was tried in 2007 when Ron Paul introduced the bill, hoping to end the Gun-Free Zone Acts. And he points out, Thomas Massie points out very, very interesting key points here. He says, gun-free zones are ineffective and make our schools less safe. Since 1950, 98% of mass public school shootings have occurred in places where citizens are banned from having guns. He said, banks, churches, sports stadiums, and many of my colleagues in Congress are protected with firearms, yet children inside the classroom are too frequently left vulnerable. Now, if you've seen the events and the story have come out over the weekend, it wasn't necessarily just the sole fact that this enraged shooter was shooting. There were some security measures, lack thereof at the school that kind of led to the increased numbers of rising. And then obviously some, we've talked about it before, about how the missing narrative or missing story links and the rising questions about what happened caused up. So there's multiple issues involved here, and just saying it has to be this one issue, which is what Canada is saying, is kind of troubling. This is why we want to pray for our leaders to have wisdom and fear of the Lord to guide themselves, to be guided through the weeds on this issue and other issues as well. And I went heavy on the gun issue today because I think it's very interesting to see that there are more proposals than just one-sided proposals. There are things out there that people have questions on. There are concerns. Is there something we can do? Possibly. I'm not going to sit there and say, no, there's nothing we can do, or yes, this is the one thing, but let's have a honest discussion about this and an honest debate, and not just take away people's ability to defend themselves. And this is why the Founding Fathers made it such a high priority, is the First Amendment, freedom of speech, Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. And you don't have a First Amendment if you don't have a Second Amendment. So for those who are not in America, who are listening, pray for this nation, pray for our leaders, pray for this administration, and even more so the voters on this issue to be strong in this season, and ourselves who are here, be strong in this season to be wise and diligent. And yes, come as a gun owner, it comes with the responsibility to be very aware of your surroundings, aware of, you know, with now a family and a child in the house, of being responsible with it as well. And now as he grows older, my son grows older, training him in how to be a responsible gun owner. It's a blessing and a curse at the same time, but in the more so aspect of it is a blessing to be able to defend ourselves. So with my patriotic rant there, I digress. And let's just pray for this administration, because there is a veil of hardness of heart on this issue for whatever reason. And we just want to pray for our leaders to have wisdom and fear of the Lord, not only on the Second Amendment issue, but also in relations, as we talked about before, with China and Iran, as we're seeing things heat up. And look, these, whether we like it or not, whether we agree with how they got in office or not, they're in office, they're making decisions. So we want to pray and have the Lord guide them in the decision-making process, because what the decisions they make will affect us now and in the season ahead. So with that, I want to end today, and don't forget, we have our noon prayer, continuing to pray for the midnight hour, at the noon hour, for what the Lord is doing in this nation as we grow closer and closer towards what we believe is the next great awakening in the hearts and minds of men, not only here in America, but for the rest of the nations that the kingdom of God would come and spread throughout the earth. So blessings, and we will see you guys later. Have a good one.